On this episode of Political Weather Vane, weekly, September 7th, 2024. There are 13 keys to the White House. Which candidate is in the driver's seat for an Election Day victory? This Tuesday will likely be the only presidential debate between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. We will preview the debate. The Port Labor Union say that talks are too far apart and a strike is likely to occur on October 1st. But what does this mean for you? Find out on this episode of Political Weather Vane.
Trade your freedom for a false sense of right. Together we're stronger, we won't be denied. This is freedom's last stand, let's turn the tide.
This is Political Weather Vane. I'm Ben.
And I am Sean.
All right. So our top story for today, we're going to be talking about the 13 keys to the White House. Right now, Alan Lichtman, that's his name. He makes predictions. He's been doing it since the 1980s. And he's correctly predicted nearly every election since the 1980s until now. And now he's come out with his prediction. And let's hear a little bit about Alan Lichtman. 27 seconds, New York Times.
Red shirt? That's Alan Lichtman, 77-year-old Alan Lichtman. And he's racing in the qualifiers for the Senior Olympics. But there's another kind of race Alan's just as qualified for.
Alan Lichtman.
Professor Alan Lichtman, who has correctly predicted almost every presidential election since 1984.
And today, Alan Lichtman's ready to tell us who's going to win in 2024.
All right, so now we can go through the 13 keys to the White House. It goes by a true-false system. If something is true, that means it favors the incumbent. So she's technically the incumbent. The first one we're going to go through is midterm gains. Do you think that, what would that be, true or false?
It would be false.
Yeah, you're right. It actually is false. A lot of people at first, I thought it was going to be true. But that's the fact that Republicans were expected to win a lot more seats and everything. They still won the House. So that's why it's still false.
Okay.
All right. So on to the next one. Incumbency. Is that true or false?
Isn't it true?
No, it's actually false because she is not the current incumbent.
But in a way, you can kind of say that she is the incumbent because she's the incumbent vice president.
Right? Yeah. He put it down as incumbency false. Originally,
okay, I guess it's false.
It's just how the pattern of how they've been doing it. And he did it through the last 120 years. Yeah. So actually, they would have had that true if Biden was still running. All right. So primary contest. Did Kamala have a primary contest?
No, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
They just gave it to her.
So she got a green light for that. Is there a third party running against her?
There's actually a couple people running against her.
But with all the people dropping out and everything, he put it as true that there really wasn't. There isn't a heavy third party running against her now.
You know what I'm thinking?
They said RFK was at one point, but not anymore.
Okay, there's other two people that are going to be on the ballot on some states. That's why I was confused.
Yeah,
Joe Stein and somebody else. I can't think of his name right now.
Cornell West. Well, they said his kind of little asterisk right there is has to be like 10%. You know what I mean? All right. So let's see. Social unrest. Is there social unrest going around?
I say. Yeah, a little bit.
Well, he put it down as it's actually pretty quiet and everything. So he put it in the true category. So they said it favors Kamala.
Okay, you want to know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of all the protests that are going on at schools with the anti-Israel protests.
Yeah, but they don't call that social unrest, though.
Okay.
Social unrest would probably be like 2020 with...
Black Lives Matter?
Yeah. All right, so policy change.
Not really.
Is there a fundamental push for policy change?
I guess, yeah, she kind of is talking about change.
Yeah, but I guess he gave it the he gave her the green light for policy change. We can kind of dive a little bit deeper into that because I'm not really sure what that means, policy change.
Yeah, what does that mean? Does that mean that they want to do something different, like put the country on a different path?
All right, so I got the video back propped up. This is him explaining what he's talking about with policy change.
The White House has made major changes to national policy.
Rejoining the Paris Accords on climate change, the CHIPS bill, the infrastructure bill, the inflation reduction and climate change bill. Clearly, the key is true.
Number 8.
Really? All right, so he thinks that all the bills or whatever are a very positive thing, and that the key holds true that national policy has changed greatly. I guess it has changed.
It has.
Because then now you got the Green New Deal that was in the infrastructure bill.
You're talking about the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
Which actually increased inflation. All right. And yes, that's rejoining the Paris Accord for the climate change international standards. I guess, yeah, it has been policy changes.
All right. I kind of skipped these around because I was kind of like questioning these. And it's about the economy.
Okay.
Okay. So the short-term economy, he said, is wonderful and that there's no there's nothing going on with the economy. Nobody's struggling and there's no recession.
That's ridiculous.
And he was saying that that's true. So the economy is great under right now.
The economy is not great.
All right. The next one is long-term economy. And he's basically talking about, numbers from comparing the previous administration to the administration right now. And he said that job growth has been tremendous now. And it's been almost double what Trump was. I wanted to kind of see the numbers and see the difference between that. Let me see if we can find that.
According to this Forbes article that I found, it says that both Biden and Trump oversaw strong labor markets. Since Biden took office, overall employment is up 11%. Average pay is up 17%. And unemployment is down from 6.7% to 4.3%. With Trump, his most impressive labor market feats were unemployment declining from 4.7% to as low as 3.5% in late 2019 and early 2020, which tied the lowest level since 1969, and wages growing by an inflation beating 15% over his four-year term. But what they're not putting in account or taking into account is all the stuff that had to shut down because of COVID.
Yeah, I was saying how much of that growth was just from 2021 when he entered office.
Yeah.
Like, he walked in and then they go, okay, we're all coming back now.
And they're counting that as part of Biden's growth. And that shouldn't count as part of Biden's growing the economy.
Yeah, I think in most cases, his system or whatever is factual and it's probably very accurate, like how he does his system, but you can't take into account the pandemic.
Yeah, they never take into account the pandemic. All right, okay. What's the next?
White House scandals. Has Joe Biden had very many scandals?
I say yes, but the media really hasn't.
Not enough to pinpoint him and being like locked in a big scandal like Watergate or anything like that. But
there's been many scandals.
So they say the key holds true for the Democrats.
There was little scandals.
Yeah.
When I say many.
All right. Does the incumbent have charisma, the incumbent party?
Not really.
Kamala Harris? He says no, that she doesn't have the charisma. Does the challenger have charisma?
I think Trump has charisma.
Yeah, he says the challenger does have charisma.
What's the next one?
All right. Foreign policy failures.
Yes.
He says that it's false. So that way, it says that they do have foreign policy failures.
You know what the number one thing I always think of when you talk about foreign policy failures with the administration is leaving Afghanistan the way they left. Mm-hmm. And then he had the audacity at the debate to say that no American soldiers died under his watch. Hmm. All right, what's the next one?
All right, this is the 13th one. It's the last one. Foreign policy success.
Is there any success that they've had? I can point to some things that Trump success foreign policy, but I'm trying to think if there's anything with Biden.
He put it down as false, minimal to no.
I can't really think of any.
He said that if anything, well, he didn't make it in the video. Like, they just basically dumped the last two and didn't explain why, because they're like, it doesn't matter because Kamala wins in the end. Like, they literally don't mention foreign policy in the video at all. They just, like, simulate and go, it doesn't matter if they won or not. No, it doesn't matter because Kamala still has 7 and Trump has 5. And so they didn't even explain it.
So he might be wrong this year. We'll see.
Well, I think that he's wrong in the sense that of the economy. Those two questions with the economy, I don't agree with him on. I don't agree that he says that there's nothing going on with the economy. There's nothing to worry about. That everything is great, sunshine and lollipops.
Yeah.
But I think that if he turns around and is wrong, he's just going to adjust those two things with the economy. He goes, oh, I was right. You know what I mean? Okay. Later on.
Yeah.
So I guess that means you're standing by your prediction.
Kamala Harris will be the next president of the United States. At least
God help that's us.
My prediction.
Welcome back to Political Weather Vane. This Tuesday will likely be the only presidential debate between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. Many of the things that this was a pre-planned debate back when Joe Biden was the candidate for the Democrats. Kamala tried to change some of the rules. Do you remember some of the things that she wanted to change?
Didn't she want to make it that their mic wouldn't be muted?
Yeah, she wanted Donald Trump's mic, in particularly, not to be muted because she didn't think that Donald Trump doesn't look as good when he's just off the cuff talking. She wanted him to talk over her and try to make all this, make him look unprofessional, I guess.
So what are some of the things you're going to be looking for at the debate on Tuesday?
The number one thing that I want to see at the debate is Kamala Harris being questioned and actually being vetted, because that's the thing that she hasn't been. She's goes on and has predetermined, and that's another thing. She wanted them to have notes.
Oh, yeah.
And wanted to have, like, sit at a table. And her to have her notes with her while she debated Donald Trump.
And the rule is that they can have a notebook, but they can't have already written down.
No, all you get is one piece of paper and a pen and a glass of water.
So most of the people in America, I think, have already made up their mind on who they're going to vote for. I think there's a small percentage of people who haven't made up their mind yet. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people that are with the Democrats, do you think she just basically rejuvenated the party?
Yeah.
And those people who were originally going to show up before they found out that Joe Biden wasn't capable of running for president. Yeah. He's not capable to run, but he's capable to run the country.
Which doesn't make much sense.
Oh, are you obvious now?
Yeah, but anyway. So I think the deciding votes, Trump needs to appeal to people in Pennsylvania and in Wisconsin. I'm not really worried about Ohio or Florida.
Do you think he's going to sway independents, though, if he's able to prove that Kamala Harris isn't the person that she's making herself out to be right now?
Yeah.
Because she's trying just to coast into this election without being vetted, without any knowledge of... She's just playing ignorance.
And she's flip-flopped on so many issues. Like, she said before that she was against fracking, wanted to ban fracking, mm-hmm. and now she all of a sudden doesn't seem to mind fracking too much.
Yeah, well, she needs those votes in Pennsylvania, and that's pretty much where a lot of fracking happens.
Do you think Trump should be on his best behavior? I think he should play it safe.
I think he should just do what he did against Joe Biden, honestly. And let
Kamala speak.
well, let her speak, but he's going to have to make sure that she's properly vetted too. Just like he did with Joe Biden, make statements, say how radical she is, and have her defend her own remarks.
It'll also be interesting because have you heard who Trump is getting helped by with the debate?
Yeah, I have.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, she played a pivotal role in ending her first campaign.
So it's going to be interesting to see what Donald Trump shows up on Tuesday night.
I think that it's going to determine a lot. I really hope the moderators are right down the middle. And that's one of the things that's probably the only thing that really concerns me. I know Donald Trump can hold his own.
Oh, yeah.
And she's not actually very good at debates.
No.
She has a long history of not really being good at debates. Yeah, this probably will decide a lot of the election, I think, in my opinion. Especially if this is the only debate.
Yeah. I wish there was more debates than just this one.
Yeah, there definitely needs to be at least two minimum. Mm-hmm. At least two.
I'm going to be on Dion's Daily Dose podcast for live reaction to the debate on Tuesday. So it'll be interesting. Check us out.
Yeah, Dion's Daily Dose, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube. It's on wherever you get your podcasts. So if you want to, check them out. All right, and we'll be right back with the final segment. All right, we're back with the final segment. Basically discussing the unions for ports for into the United States of America. They're planning to go on strike because they can't reach a deal. And come October 1st, they plan on going on strike. This is going to affect a lot of people according to the supply chain. They're hoping to get a deal done, but it says they're too far apart. I remember something similar to this happening 2 years ago. And at the last minute, the Biden administration was able to come to a deal and able to kick the can down the road. I guess it's that time now to where we've reached the can again. I know that there's a lot of concerns this could affect the economy. I guess that there's a law in place that can force the government for them to go back to work after a cooling off period. That's called the Taft-Hartley Act. But a lot of people are saying that if they're forced to go back to work, it's just going to cost them more money because, it threatened a slowdown, which means that they're just going to work very slowly. They're going to be forced to work and they're not going to really want to work. There's a lot going on here and they got to come up with a deal. I guess this happened before in 2022 with the rail strike.
Something to note, too, if you think inflation is bad now, just wait until if this strike happens, that's going to cause inflation even worse. Don't you think?
I know it'll affect the economy and things will cost more because it'll be a lot harder to get things. I guess it will inflate the price, but it won't permanently inflate the price. It'll be like inflation, but it'll be for the short term because...
But still... Everything will go up again. That'll probably make gas skyrocket and groceries, everything.
Yeah, that's why it's very important, though. We get all these things imported from other countries.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be able to bring them in because they're going to go on strike. That's one of the things to make sure that we should be energy independent, because then we wouldn't have to deal with this. And you're right, it's going to make gas prices spike, and prices of everything are going to go up. And the funny thing is that this isn't really being talked about very much. It's being talked around in the business sector, like CNBC's talking about it, and the business financial, because they understand how big this is. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they're going to force them a deal, give them whatever they want?
Probably.
Because they're pretty much at their mercy.
Because... This could take...
This union's been around for close to 200 years, and what they're doing to us is not fair. These companies are making billions of dollars, and they should take us along, Daggett said at a union meeting. We brought them where they are today, and now they just want to get rid of us.
This gets bad enough. This could take the Harris presidency hope, like her candidacy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It could affect us politically as well. Yeah. Just especially if the economic downturn, because the futures market's going to look at this and it's gonna go That's down. True. Because they're going to be like, okay, you need to get a part from another country or something in a shipping container. Yeah, good luck trying to get it. You know how long it's going to take? Our supply chain is going to be bad just like COVID. So it's a lot to take in. So I think that we should keep track of this. We should just keep a mandate or like have maybe in the coming weeks or whatever, October, we'll talk about this again.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens because this is very important.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we could just leave it at that. Don't forget the debate is on Tuesday. Don't miss it. Dion's Daily Dose. Have a good weekend, everybody.
They want to control us, make us comply. But we'll break the chains, modify and fly. Kamala's vision may loom overhead, but in the land of the brave, we won't live in dread. Our spirits unbroken will stand hand in hand. Together we fight, this is freedom's last stand. So raise your voice, let the world hear our fight. Don't trade your freedom for a false sense of right. Together we